It's Sunday, February 24th. You're listening to the Irrelevant Rock and Roll and Music Show. And this is Long Shot recording artist Sab and the Family Band.
All right now!
That was music slightly off your radar. And that was Sab and the Family Band bringing down the house with their version of All Night Long. Okay, hold on to your hats. It's time for...
Crossfire.
Okay, welcome to Crossfire. And tonight we have two really interesting bands and two sort of rock icons that have come back with new albums. One that has gone in a totally different direction, and one I think has just refined their direction. The two albums we're looking at is Alison Krauss and Robert Plant with an album Rising Sand, and Ozzy Osbourne's Black Rain. Take it away, Crafty.
Alrighty then. Well, what do I start with? I guess Black Rain. Excellent, excellent comeback album. Excellent opening album. Like strong tunes. That was a bang on first listen kind of song. Again, oh my God, you're gonna guess where I heard the first version. Jimmy Kimmel. Ozzy on Jimmy Kimmel.
This show in no way is promoting the Jimmy Kimmel show.
No, it's not, but we're on some similar wavelength there, because I remember seeing it and just going, wow. I mean, listen to that tune. I knew that tune, you knew you could hear the hook, right? And the album rocks. It's as solid record as he's ever done, ever. It's as good as...
Yeah, absolutely.
Blizzard of Oz. It's as good as any of his solo albums.
It's No More Tears Part 2.
It's great. I mean, everybody's in top form. The production's through the roof. Totally through the roof. Totally modernized, totally current. Like, there'll be people grabbing ideas like that. There's like some, he's absorbed the Nine Inch Nails, the sampling, the looping. He's absorbed it, but without making it sound like he's trying to be like techno Ozzy.
Well, it's going to be strange me talking this album after, last show where I really sort of maligned Ozzy for his live performance. But one of the reasons I sort of maligned Ozzy for his live performance is I had such high expectations because of this album, because I think this is a great album. I think this is the album that probably could have been made for Down to Earth if Zach had been able to do the songs he wanted to do, because I think that Zach and Ozzy on this album have really, Zach Wild, the guitar player, and I think they really have come together and created some great songs, some great riffs. He's got Blasto, which is Rob Zombie's old bass player, and it's they just come down like a hammer.
Yeah, yeah. He's not in the Randy Rhoads shadow, it's not like, not that he's making you forget about Randy Rhoads, but he stands on his own for sure.
Absolutely.
He's Zach Wild. I think 600 people showed up to a guitar signing at the La McQuaid's the other day with room for 100,
I just want to talk about some of the songs, because some of the stuff in here, it's really like, I guess, a midlife crisis album for him. He's reflecting a lot on things that have happened to him in the last couple of years. He has a song, The Almighty Dollar, which is talking about how money corrupts.
And, it's one of the good ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got such a great bass line on it.
No, that's it. The good ones are so strong.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, it's just like, they stand up. They just stand up to like almost the first three Black Sabbath albums as well. I think this is a better album than the Black Sabbath 4.
I just loved it. I've loved it. I mean, I've been trying to get people to listen to it. People have been going, oh, Osbourne. I've been going around, no, you got to hear this album. You got to hear this album, because it's just great.
Okay. We can do Robert now.
Yeah. Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. I love this album. I have bought this album for everybody for Christmas. I have sent it to my friend in England. I have given it my friend Michael Craig. I have given it to everybody. I have just gone out and I hope probably bought every one of them in Toronto, because I think it's just a great album. I think it's so refreshing that he can take an album like this on, at this part of his career, especially with the Zep reunion just kind of having just happened and the possibility of Led Zeppelin tour. I think him and Alison Krauss are just wonderful together. She's always been a closet rocker chick. Okay, if you look at the second, the album after the collection, which has When You Say Nothing at All, the album after that, Alison Krauss and Union Station, the pose they have on the album is exactly the same as AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
She's always been like this. And there's this one shot of her walking down the beach with him. There's all kinds of shots of them walking around the beach and sitting on the beach and whatnot like that. And she's looking back, and she's got her arm in his arm, and she's looking back going, I'm with the singer of Led Zeppelin. I'm singing with Robert Plant. T-Bone Burnett produced this album, and he just did a wonderful job. I can't say it's rock. I can't say it's blues. I can't even say it's sort of alternative country. It straddles all three of those things and comes up with...
That'd be T-Bone.
Yeah?
That'd be T-Bone.
That would be T-Bone, yeah. And Robert Plant is singing with such exuberance, even though he's not like yelping all over the place. He's singing with such exuberance that it's just contagious. It's contagious. I mean, you know, there's a couple of people I had played this for, and that was like, okay, fine. And then like the second or third time, man, they're telling other people about it, you know? So I love it. I love it. I mean, you know, it's great.
It's funny. Some people say, like, you know, what happens to rockers when they can't rock anymore? They do country, you know? And we're actually quite a few people compared it to, say, like Bon Jovi, how they... You know,
oh, that's no, 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 no. I won't hear that. I'm sorry.
I didn't say I did.
Sorry, man.
I didn't say I did. It says, you know, yeah, what happens when rockers can't rock anymore? They do some kind of form of mellow country.
No.
The other one I got was Robert Plant does Cowboy Junkies.
Yeah, there's a Cowboy Junkie song there. It sort of sound to it. And I agree with that. That's a, you know, especially on the song
Right.
Killing the Blues. There's definitely a Cowboy Junkie.
Well, she would be. She does a lot of that breathy stuff.
She does a lot of bluegrass. That's what she mostly does is bluegrass. So, you know, giving her a sort of nod to Cowboy Junkies is certainly not insulting Alison Krauss.
Well, at least it's not Robert Plant with a drum machine and a synthesizer and a bunch of horribly beboppy.
Oh, you're talking about Strange Sensation. It's whatever. One last year.
Well, did he do another album last year?
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
Yeah.
You want to listen to music that doesn't stand the test of time if you go back to 80s Robert Plant. I mean, he sustained his career, but, you know, I mean, I can just tolerate Big Log because it was a great guitar track and a good song, but oh my God, some of those songs.
He doesn't get stale. He's always looking for different things. He does Middle Eastern things. He does different things like that. I mean, come on. When you've been in Led Zeppelin and you've gone as high as you went musically with like a band like Led Zeppelin, and with the four of them actually playing like that.
No, hats off for having a career. I'm just was going about my personal opinion, and that I haven't really been a huge Robert Plant fan since, you know, Led Zeppelin 1, 2, and 3, and 4 would be it. And I could just pick and chew off of Physical Graffiti and the rest of it. I just can't listen to it. It's not because it's bad. It's because Led Zeppelin 1 and Led Zeppelin 2 were so good. Like, they were like, Led Zeppelin 1 is probably the single greatest rock album ever made. I mean, it's just a band of the moment at their time, peak, recorded, fresh, boom. It is not a waste of a second when you're that great.
But you don't want to be like a band like Motley Crue either, who keeps repeating their album over and over again.
If you, I won't put Bon Jovi and Robert Plant's new career directions in the same breath if you don't ever put Motley Crue in the same breath of Led Zeppelin. Motley Crue had two good songs. Girls, girls. And that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we weren't talking about Motley Crue. But
I think people should be applauded for trying different and new directions.
Yeah, but not necessarily.
And working with different artists.
And not necessarily listen to.
Okay.
You can just, you know, do it at home. I'm not saying that about this album at all. This is a layer album and definitely something I listen to it more and dig it more I'm just happy not to hear him, you know, yelping over drum machines. That's just, I just thought, oh God, he's not going to try to go this new electro stuff, you know, and try to sound like the Killers or something. I would just die.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
As I said, in the 80s, he tried to stay current. He did stay current. He kept his career where none of the other guys did. And, you know, but then you see, for me in the 80s anyway, it's some of the worst produced music in the world ever. Don't date well. So I was really happy that this is an organic album for Robert.
Yeah, it's very organic.
So for that, great. Probably the best, easily the best thing he's done since Led Zeppelin 3.
You're listening to Radio 2069 Rock and Beyond.
Okay, now it's time for that, you know, part of the show we love, which is albums that deserve to be played again. And tonight, Crafty has a classic that came from Quebec.
I first got exposed to this band when I was, I guess, 13 or 14 years old, a little runaway, on the streets of Montreal playing guitar. And you understand that Quebec was the first country to break Genesis, Soft Machine, Pink Floyd for that matter. Yes, they all broke before anywhere in North America, they broke in Quebec. So there was a huge progressive rock audience there. Now, the band that I'm mentioning is not necessarily sound progressive rock, but this would be played in between the Genesis and the Pink Floyd. You'd hear this record everywhere.
I think we should mention the band's name.
It's the build up. It's a great build up. The band's name is Harmonium. And they did, I think, four albums altogether, one with the orchestra. But it's the first one that, and this is funny because I lived in the streets of Quebec for 7 or 8 years. And I think all I could ever do in French was order bread, wine, maybe get some herb, and maybe get lucky. But I just never could speak or pronunciate or read French. So I look at the album covers here, and to tell you the names of these songs would be not good. It would remind me of a story of when I was in Quebec City, and in this period of time where you had to speak French if you wanted to order food. That is what this look at you didn't. And this girl from Texas is going, "Excusez, parlez-vous français?" And the French guy just goes, no, speak English. Don't do that. Please, just speak English. And that's the first and only time I think I ever heard this waiter in this bar say, no, excusez. You know, so this band was definitely entrenched. It was Beaudommage, Polly and Julian, and the whole Quebecois scene. And they would play these fantastic festivals. They were like, you know, massive in this town. And I don't understand a word of the songs. Not to this day. I have no idea what I'll put it on now, a French Canadian with me, and I'll say, "What is he singing about?" And it's very folky, kind of a progressive folky sound. It was a progressive folk, because there's a certain stretch.
It's like a foreign movie without, you know, without the subtitles.
The style of the music, and it did get more progressive as they did the orchestra tour. One of the big concerts I regret is they played here in Massey Hall with an orchestra on the second album, and I missed it. I never seen it. At the same time, though, I remember getting a copy of the second album, and it didn't warm up to me. I think it's probably the times, too. Like, I'm a 14-year-old runaway kid, 1970, or 1369-70. And, you know, I'm lying in some hippies commune after playing on the streets or selling sandals, and I'm hearing this music over and over again. So it's like a magical time for me. They're great songs. Really, really, and his voice is totally haunting. A very simple album. It's sort of a beigey yellow. This is Harmonium on it, and it's one of those albums, beginning to end, fantastic.
Well, the Quebec music scene used to be incredible. I mean, because they were supported by the government. The government supported them.
It didn't need the government support.
Yeah, but they did.
But they didn't need it.
The arts in Quebec were really supported.
Yeah, but it didn't need it there. It was the Quebec scene. Like, there was a scene around in that time. The scene was dying out. The art scene in Toronto and music scene in Toronto was. You're talking about an era just past John Kay, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young living in the streets of Toronto. This is just only 2 years later, right?
Yeah.
So they're all moved to California, and Toronto's turning into who would be the big band at the time? Moxie, you know. Yeah. No, which is a big band. It was. You can't.
And Flood.
And Flood, yeah. So you're doing this sort of quasi-psychedelic, you know, almost metal sound. But with this music, dissipated the art scene very much so. Like, it wasn't connected. Where you go to Quebec, and these artists and these clubs would all be intertwined, art shows and music. It was it was a scene still and survived way, well, I think, well into 1976. So there's 6 years that they never were without a scene. Where in, by the time, by mid-70s in Toronto, I mean, there was nothing here. Like at one point, Gatto and Carol Pope were the only original bands in the city until the punk rock scene came. You know, like there was there's a huge gap of a scene. People take it for granted that we have now in I Magazine. There was no such thing. In mid-70s Toronto, there was no scene. But in Quebec, that never happened. And Harmonium was part of the scene, very big. And it was very strong. Whether it was supported by the government was irrelevant. I was on there. The streets were just full of this.
Well, I just, you know, the thing about, I remember Harmonium is I heard about Harmonium a lot. And I always thought it was like this band like Tangerine Dream. Hmm. You know? And then I finally, you know, it was like 2 years ago. I finally got to hear that solo album, and it was the first album, the debut album. And first of all, I was really shocked that it was so folky, but then I really warmed up to it, and it sounds great. It sounds great. There's a real honesty to it. There's a real musicality to it. It's
well, it inspired me to get my first 12-string guitar. It's bands like that. It's funny that you talk about reunion tours. A band like that, which, you know, their image is irrelevant to just about anyone, if they could sound the same, those are bands that, you know, should revive themselves, where Motley Crue or something and Botox and skin tight pants with beer bellies should not. Harmonium, give them a check out.
Harmonium
Radio 2069, rock and beyond.
Was a little boy, falling in the wall, up about my guitar, turning around. Guess you take up, was my stage. You rock and roll at a very young age, and my little man, come on and watch me play. Guess you, little man, come on and watch me play. Cause I'm a mighty little man to be the biggest bass on it. I've been a locker. They used to call me at the classroom rocker. In my little bed, come on and watch me play. There's your little bed, come on and watch me play. Cause I'm a little friend to be these days today. I've been a loner, twice as sweet. I don't fancy young girls like me. We'll be right back.
people say we're good, some people say we're bad. I like to think I'm a real good about being bad, you know what I mean? But see, yeah, little boy, pulling the wall. I'm about to get y'all feeling the rock. Kitchen table was my stage. I get up in the morning to rock and roll every day. My little man, I'm on a watch and play. Cause you're my little man. See, baby, one time, two time, three time, 19 fucking time. I want for good luck.
That, once again, for your listening pleasure, was Sab and the Family Band, pulling out all the stops on the song Little Band from their long shot recording debut, Sab and the Family Band Live, recorded with much blood, sweat, and beer in several venues throughout Northern Ontario. If you'd like to get to smoke a new album or find out where the band is playing live next, plug yourself into www.sabrocks.com. Long shot. Blasting through musical mediocrity.
Time now for Find of the Week.
Okay, it's Find of the Week, and it's my choice this week. And I have a band that I'm really, really excited about. I made what I think an incredible find. I heard this band, which is called Ground Zero, and their song Frozen Christ, which is a song I heard on this sampler I get from this heavy metal magazine that covers hard rock and heavy metal and progressive metal. And they release a sampler every month that comes with the magazine. And a couple months ago, I heard this song. And when I heard this song, it knocked my socks off. I just stopped in my tracks. When it came out of the speakers, I had the same reaction akin to when I first heard Judas Priest do the Ripper off of Sad Wings of Destiny. It was that good. It just hit me right between the eyes. This band is from Ohio. It's a four-piece. They are super tight. I've had a chance to go onto their website and actually hear a couple other songs. They don't have a full album yet, but when they do have a full album, please run to the store, run to iTunes, run wherever you got to go and pick it up. And the crime, absolute crime, with the crap that's out there right now on the radio and the crap that is released, you know, on the internet, this band's not signed. Centra Media, where are you? I've heard some of your new bands. They don't even come close to this band, okay? Why aren't you knocking on their door? I have actually emailed them, and I'm trying to get, when they actually do release the album, to allow us to do a full profile on the album, because I just think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, usually, for different reasons, some of it's copyright, and some of it is, you know, we just want you to go out and find the music, and, you know, that's why we talk. It's like being listening to a magazine. Okay, when you read a magazine, you don't actually hear what you're doing. You actually get a picture in your mind of what this band or this album sounds like, and we're hoping that's what we're doing for you. But in light of what Crafty had in the last show about fake hype and stuff, I don't want to think this is fake hype. Okay? So I'm going to play Ground Zero's Frozen Christ. All I can say is prepare to be amazed.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Irrelevant Rock and Roll and Music Show. I mean, what did you think you were listening to? I mean, really?